hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Real Madrid, which won its first Spanish League football trophy in 5 years. Thousands of Real fans gathered around one of Madrid's landmarks, Cibeles Fountain, early Monday morning after the club's 2-0 win at Malaga. Goals from Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo and Frenchman Karim Benzema help Real Madrid capture its 33rd league title and kept rival Barcelona from its third consecutive championship. Now, Real needed only a draw to wrap up the title in its final league match of the season. Speaking afterwards, Cristiano Ronaldo said, and I quote, "To win the title in the last round feels that much better. We deserved it." Ronaldo and Real Madrid will go after another title, a record-extending 12th European Championship, when they play Juventus on June 3rd in the UEFA Champions League final in Cardiff, Wales. In Rome on Sunday, Juventus clinched a record 6th consecutive Italian Serie A title with a 3-0 victory over Crotone. Now let's go to England, where Arsene Wenger's proud record is over. Arsenal failed to qualify for the Champions League for the first time in 20 years. Arsenal's hope of making it into the Premier League's top four relied on Liverpool or Manchester City both slipping up. But both clubs won easily on Sunday. Man City thrashed Watford 5-0, and Liverpool beat relegated Middlesbrough 3-0. So, despite beating Everton 3-1, Wenger's team finished fifth, 1 point behind Liverpool. The EPL's top four ended up being Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur, Manchester City, and Liverpool. Wenger says speculation about his future with the club did not help Arsenal's record.
Certainly my personal situation has contributed to that, but we should not question, you know, I'm professional. As long as I'm somewhere, I do my job until the last day, and you could not question my love or my loyalty to this club, because I said no to every club in the world to stay here with very restricted finances for years. We played since January. In a very difficult environment for different reasons, some obviously that you know, where you know about, and that is very difficult for a group of players to cope with that, and some other reasons where we'll talk about another day. But the psychological environment for the group of players was absolutely horrendous, and I'm very proud of what they have done, the way they responded and finished the season.
Meanwhile, the season is finishing on a positive note for Liverpool and its German manager, Jürgen Klopp.
That everything is good in this club at the moment. It feels good. But of course, we have to deliver results. And feeling on a good way is one. Showing that you're on a good way is the other thing. I think, again, we showed it today. We deserve this position, in good like in bad. We have 76 points. That's an outstanding number. We all know what happened in January. I'm not sure that all of us agree why, but the explanation is injuries and too many games. That we cannot change this, or it happened. And then the problem in February, we suffered from the games in January, and then in March we were back on track and got the 76 points, so that's it.
while Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool look forward to UEFA Champions League competition, Arsene Wenger and Arsenal are looking forward to Saturday's FA Cup final against Chelsea. Chelsea routed bottom of the table Sunderland on Sunday 5-1, 2 weeks after securing a second title in 3 seasons. Chelsea finished with 93 points, 7 points in front of Tottenham, which completed its best league campaign in 54 years by routing Hull 7-1. Meanwhile, Chelsea's French midfielder N'Golo Kanté has won the Football Writers Association Player of the Year Award. The 26-year-old Kanté played last season for Leicester City, which had a fairy tale run to its first Premier League title. He compares Leicester's success with Chelsea's title this season.
Yeah, I think with Leicester, it surprised everyone because no one expected Leicester to be champions. And this was amazing in the city, also in the world. With Chelsea, it's different because Chelsea wanted to win from the beginning of the league. And we've done it, and it's a huge achievement also.
N'Golo Kanté adds that Chelsea has a proud winning tradition, and the club will do its best to keep the trophy next season.
Yeah, I think Chelsea is a club that always wants to win. We're going to try to keep the title, but we have a lot of contenders in the Premier League, and it's going to be difficult, but I cannot say who's going to win the title.
N'Golo also has words of praise for Chelsea's Italian manager, Antonio Conte.
Yeah, I think he's a fantastic manager. He was doing very well when he was in Italy. And to come here and to win the league is good for him, good for the club, good for us. And the way he works in training, the tactical work, he learned to everyone. He's a very, very good manager.
That's French midfielder N'Golo Kanté of Chelsea, the Football Writers Association Player of the Year in England. In Germany, champions Bayern Munich had a victorious farewell for retiring captain Philipp Lahm and the Spaniard Xabi Alonso. Bayern scored a 4-1 victory over Freiburg. Bayern wrapped up their runaway fifth consecutive title with 82 points, 15 more than second place Leipzig. Borussia Dortmund finished in third place in the Bundesliga with 64 points after a 4-3 win over Werder Bremen. Dortmund's 2015 African Footballer of the Year also finished as the Bundesliga's top scorer with 31 goals, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale.
Gabon star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored twice on the final day of the season to equal Ghana's Tony Yeboah's enviable Bundesliga record. Aubameyang on Saturday became only the second African player after Tony Yeboah to win the Golden Boot in Germany 2 times. Elsewhere, Ghana striker Jordan Ayew struck his debut goal for Swansea City, who defeated West Brom at home to end the season on a high note. The Swans ended a testing Premier League season with a 15th place finish, as Jordan Ayew's first strike earned a 2-1 victory against West Brom at the Liberty Stadium. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. in results Monday at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament in South Korea. Senegal defeated Saudi Arabia 2-0. France beat Honduras 3-0. Ecuador and the United States played to a 3-3 draw. And Vietnam and New Zealand played to a goalless draw. There will be four more matches on Tuesday, two in Group A and two in Group B. In Group A, England will go against Guinea, and that will be followed by a match between Argentina and host South Korea. England got off to a great start Saturday with a 3-0 victory over Argentina, a six-time world champion at the under-20 level. The South Koreans also started strong with a 3-0 win over Guinea. In Group B on Tuesday, Venezuela is matched against Vanuatu, and Mexico will meet Germany. In the opening matches in this group over the weekend, Venezuela beat Germany 2-0, and Mexico defeated Vanuatu 3-2. We'll see a new FIFA Under-20 World Champion crowned on June 11th in Suwon, South Korea, where the final will be played. That's because Serbia, the 2015 winner, failed to reach the final round of Europe's qualifying tournament. I know the boys in South Korea will get their share of kicks over the next 3 weeks. And on that note, I want our Voice of America engineer this evening, Dan Crafton, to kick it!
Kick it!
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, Cameroonian fighter Hassan Ndam won the vacant WBA middleweight title belt over the weekend in controversial fashion in Tokyo. Ndam scored a 12-round split decision victory over the previously undefeated Japanese boxer Ryoto Murata, who won a gold medal at the 2012 Olympics in London. Let's take a look at the official scorecards from the three judges. Gustavo Padilla from Panama scored it 116-111 in favor of Ndam. Canadian judge Hubert Earl also had Ndam in front by a margin of 115-112. The American judge, though, Raul Caiz Jr., scored it for Murata by a big margin, 117-110. Among those who agreed with Caiz's scoring was none other than Gilberto Jesus Mendoza, the president of the World Boxing Association. In a statement on social media, Mendoza said, and I quote, "I feel angry and frustrated for not being able to serve the sport with the right decisions. After judging the bout, my scorecard is 117-110 for Murata," wrote Mendoza. And Mendoza added, First of all, let me apologize to Ryota Murata, Taken Promotions, and all Japanese boxing fans. There are no words how to repair the damage caused by the poor decision. I will demand the championship committee order a direct rematch. Here in the Washington area, American boxer Gary Russell Jr. successfully defended his WBC featherweight title with a seventh-round TKO victory against the Colombian Oscar Escandon. Gary's two brothers, also named Gary, were victorious on the same fight card. Gary Antonio Russell beat Puerto Rico's Jovane Fuentes in a non-title bantamweight bout. And Gary Antoine Russell, a super lightweight, made his professional debut by beating fellow American Josh Ross. Now, the Russell brothers are all trained by their father. Yep, his name is Gary, too. Gary Russell Sr., he was celebrating his birthday at the MGM National Harbor Theater. I told our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, that the MGM National Harbor venue here in the Washington area opened a little more than 5 months ago, and it's already staged several world title fights in a big boost for boxing here in the Washington area. Now let's go to London. We're at the Copper Box Arena over the weekend. Another American fighter, Gervonta Davis, successfully defended his IBF junior lightweight title with a third-round TKO of Britain's Liam Walsh. Davis is promoted by Floyd Mayweather Jr., who says he will not be rushing Davis into world title unification bouts just yet. Gervonta Davis improved to 18-0 with 17 knockouts with that victory in the British capital. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
And our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
Well, we've got a bunch of surprising winners and losers. We talk about in sports, there always has to be a winner and there always has to be a loser. We've got some surprising winners and losers, starting with quite a surprise for Boston last night. The Boston Celtics coming back from 21 points down to win at the buzzer to avenge an embarrassing loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 2. Not quite a buzzer beater, but Avery Bradley rattles in a three, leaving 0.1 seconds left on the clock. Not a lot of time for Cleveland to do anything.
Wow.
So the Boston fans are thrilled, just what they needed to get it back on track. But a surprising loss for them. Boston star guard Isaiah Thomas ruled out for the rest of the postseason with a hip injury. So fans very disappointed about that, fearful that it'll impact the Celtics' chances against Cleveland in that series. But sad news that Isaiah Thomas, one of the more exciting players, certainly on the Celtics, if not all of NBA, is out for the rest of the postseason.
And a quick update for our VOA basketball fans. The San Antonio Spurs will host the Golden State Warriors later Monday night in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. And the Spurs are up against it. They trail 3-0. So they have to win or else it's go home, I guess.
Yeah, do or die for the San Antonio Spurs.
What else is trending in terms of surprising winners and losers, Andrew?
Well, a surprise winner at the Italian Open in tennis, Alexander Zverev, 20 years old, beating Novak Djokovic in straight sets to win that title, his first ever Masters 1000 title, which is just a step below the Grand Slam tournaments. So that was a surprise that he beat Djokovic in the final. He becomes the first male player born in the 1990s to win a Masters 1000 title. Mm. In fact, he was born in 1997, so it shows what a gap there's been between players like Djokovic and Murray, who were born in the late 80s, and now this new crop of tennis players. The loser, of course, Novak Djokovic, but perhaps a win for him with a new coach, because in the presser after that Italian Open final, he announces that he's taking on the great Andre Agassi as his coach for the French Open.
Interesting.
Yes, there were rumors that there were talks, but it's been confirmed by Djokovic, and his fans are very excited, hoping that Andre Agassi can get him back on track and get him winning some Grand Slam tournaments again after a bit of a slump. Pretty much since he won the French Open last year until now, he's pretty much been slumping. So hope that out of this loss in Italy, maybe it will be a win in Roland Garros for Novak Djokovic with his new coach.
And he sounded like he's not quite sure whether it'll be long term with Agassi. That for now, it's just for the French Open.
For now, it's just for the French Open. Novak Djokovic talked about getting rid of his whole coaching staff as kind of shock therapy. He needed to start new and start fresh. So this might be a good way to kind of test it out, see how it works. And if it does, maybe Agassi will continue on for the rest of the season.
Any other surprising winners or losers out there, Andrew?
Yes, a big surprise winner at the Preakness Stakes up in Baltimore, Maryland. Of course, the middle jewel of the Triple Crown of horse racing here in the U.S. Cloud Computing wins the race. I think he was a 15 or 20 to 1 long shot, winning the Preakness, taking out the odds-on favorite Always Dreaming, who actually finished, I believe, 8th. After being in second for much of the race, faded towards the end. And then it was Cloud Computing and Classic Empire, who was the other favorite horse. Cloud Computing overtaking him at the last second. So a big surprise. Not a lot of people thought this horse could win. And unfortunately, that means no Triple Crown this year, of course, because Always Dreaming won the Kentucky Derby, Cloud Computing winning the Preakness. No horse will win all three of the Triple Crown races. But a lot of excitement up there in Baltimore. And a lot of people... I think throwing away those betting tickets after they put a lot of money on Always Dreaming was the, 3-2 odds on favorite, and unfortunately came in second to last.
And now the jewel, the last jewel will be the Belmont.
Yes, in about 3 weeks of the Belmont Stakes up in New York. We always jokes after the Preakness, if there are different horses that win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, that nobody's going to watch the Belmont because there's no Triple Crown. But it'll still be exciting for sure. People, I think, will still be watching that.
Andrew, we have about a minute left in the program. Any other surprising winners and losers?
Yes. Well, back in the summer of 2016, of course, we had the Rio Olympics, and there were a number of winners. In fact, they handed out 2,021 medals to all the different winners there. So a bit of surprise now for some of those winners. Hundreds of them, in fact, have noticed that their medals are beginning to rust. Mm. There are black spots on the medals. They're getting chipped. And they're having to send them in to be repaired. So these claims are spreading across the internet of these medals that are in disrepair. Many people saying it's similar to how Rio was. Rio was plagued by claims of being unprepared and in disrepair ahead of the Olympics. So maybe fitting that these Rio medals aren't doing so well. And some people, too, on social media saying it's a metaphor for how the Rio Olympics went and the current state of the Olympics, kind of tarnished, kind of in disrepair. A lot of cities don't want to host the games going forward. So we'll have to keep on that and see if those athletes get their medals back all shiny and new and what the issue was. Maybe it was poor construction of the medals. Who knows? But unmasked, these medals are having some problems.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the May 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to my kicking VOA engineer, Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States government is saving lives in the Lake Chad Basin. Today, some 7 million people are suffering from severe hunger in the Lake Chad Basin. Thousands may have already experienced famine. Malnutrition is rampant, and over the past few years, the region has increasingly suffered numerous outbreaks of contagious diseases, such as hepatitis E, meningitis, measles, cholera, and even polio. The United Nations calls the situation a complex humanitarian emergency, a major crisis that is often the result of political instability, conflict and violence, social inequities, and poverty. In the Lake Chad region, one of the main contributors to the crisis is the Boko Haram terrorist group. For 15 years now, Boko Haram has attacked civilians in Chad, Niger, Cameroon, and Nigeria, causing instability and conflict. But the crisis is also caused by decades of neglect. A lack of rural development has left many communities vulnerable to extreme weather events, such as floods and drought. Since 1960, Lake Chad has also lost about 90% of its water. That means disaster for people whose livelihood directly depends on the lake, such as fishermen and farmers. And of course, there is a considerable ripple effect as people escaping hunger in one region strain the resources of the areas to which they move. The United States is committed to responding to people affected by this crisis. Working with our partners, we are helping states and communities prepare for disasters and to help people withstand crises. We also provide emergency humanitarian aid. So far in fiscal year 2017, with USAID in the lead, the United States government has provided more than $203 million worth of humanitarian aid to the countries of the Lake Chad Basin. This aid includes food, nutritional supplements, safe drinking water, hygiene kits, and emergency medical services. Yet the need is great and growing, and in the Lake Chad Basin, people are suffering. We urge our partners and all humanitarian donors to increase their level of support during this critical time of need.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the significance of Africa Day. Africa Day commemorates the creation of the Organization of African Unity on May 25th, 1963. The historical and cultural meaning of Africa Day.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC for the latest in African news, features, and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.